Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Well, I always tell my students, follow your bliss.
Hello, my sweet, sweet, sweetie, sweets. My name is Pastor Ray. I'm your host here on Blist, the podcast. And we are really excited to have you here with us for this episode. If you've never listened before and you're wondering, what is this podcast about? Well, it started as a way for me to interview people who are following their bliss and a way to try and tease out the steps they took to try and get there. Since then, it has elasticized, and I try to keep the theme kind of elastic, but still keeping it attached to bliss. I became interested in studying and pursuing ideas around bliss when I discovered the works of Joseph Campbell. I worked at a church and I was in charge of creating video content, so I had to tell a lot of stories. And so to learn how to tell stories, I started studying Dan Harmon, who created the TV shows Community and Rick and Morty. And we'll actually mention him later in the podcast. But in studying him, I learned that the things that he was teaching about story, he actually got from Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell specifically has a thing called the monomyth, which is a roadmap that he lays over all the mythologies of the world and says, look, they kind of follow the same pattern. And the really cool thing about this that writers and creative types have discovered is that this monomyth works as a good template for telling a story. And so it's almost internal in us. It's almost a universal pattern because it plays itself out in our lives. When we try to do things, when we're listening to a story, we're kind of listening for that monomyth to show up even if we don't realize it. And so it's really important. And a hero accomplishing his goal in a story that you're listening to is the same as discovering your bliss, kind of. That's the connection that brings us to what we're talking about today. And today what I want to talk about is the movie Avengers Infinity War. The biggest movie in the world right now. The Avengers strangely have become the biggest franchise. And I want to talk about it and how what it does right and wrong, in my opinion, with the monomyth. And obviously what I'm saying is just my opinion. I think it's at 84% on Rotten Tomatoes, so clearly people love it. It's got the biggest opening of all time, I think. I think it's beaten all the Star Wars stuff, so people love this movie. So if you love it, don't hear me saying that these faults I find with its use of the monomyth are a reason not to love it. But at any rate, we're going to get into it right now.
Fun isn't something one considers when balancing the universe. But this does put a smile on my face.
So, moving on to Infinity War and my thoughts on it, needless to say, this podcast is going to be full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet and you don't want to have it spoiled for you, this is not a podcast to listen to, at least not yet. Come back and listen to it after you've seen the movie. I would love for you to do that. And I realize in doing the podcast this way about this topic, I'm potentially limiting immediate downloads, and that's fine. I'm willing to do that because this is something I've wanted to talk about ever since I stepped out of the movie theater yesterday. One of the things I said about... let's actually go back more. So the creative powerhouses behind Avengers Infinity War are the Russo brothers. They're a brother directing team. And they cut their teeth. They got their start actually directing episodes of the television show Community, which I mentioned earlier in my intro that Dan Harmon, the man who I kind of looked up to understand storytelling, he created the TV show Community. And so I am positive that the Russo brothers work with an awareness of the monomyth and story structure the way Dan Harmon kind of teaches it. So this isn't me kind of just guessing. You know, the monomyth is one of those things that shows up in storytelling, but some people use it and they never realize they're using it. It's just, like I said, it's kind of inborn inside of us. It's inherent. But other people use it purposefully to great effect. And I feel pretty certain that the Russo brothers are aware of their use of it and its usefulness as a tool. And so, and I think the way they used it in this movie is really interesting, but potentially it was risky. I said in an email newsletter to some people that subscribe to that basically what the Russo brothers did was they turned away from the audience and started playing their guitars into their amps. And if you know anything about music, when you play a guitar into an amp, it creates feedback, and you can use that feedback artistically and create something really pleasing and interesting sounding, or feedback can be really offensive and hard to listen to and shrill. And so your opinion on what the Russo brothers did with this feedback they created is completely up to you. Like I said, Rotten Tomatoes ticket sales would seem to indicate that a lot of people really love what the Russo brothers did. For me, their use of feedback caused me a little bit of agitation, maybe not in a comic book guy on The Simpsons nerdy way where I was like, this is not correct. I don't care. I have some emotion around the Avengers. The Avengers were my favorite comic book for decades of my childhood, but I'm fine with the movies being what they are, and I'm fine with other people like the Russo brothers taking it and running with it and trying things. But it seemed risky to me for them to take the biggest movie franchise in the world, a movie that was being predicted for months that it was going to be the biggest selling movie in the world, and for them to try something so out of the box and unusual. And so that seems risky, but you don't make progress without risk takers. So what did the Russo brothers do that I found so unusual and that I would compare it to guitar feedback? Well, they use the monomyth, and most people, let me say this, when you watch a movie or a TV show or you read a book, your subconscious is looking for this monomyth to play itself out. And the basis of the monomyth is there's a character, a hero, who feels a call to something, and he goes off in search of that thing that he feels called by, and he has to he goes through some specific steps, some trials, some hard stuff to get this goal. And once he has the goal, then he takes it and he tries to share it with the world. He applies it with the world, and so, or applies it to the world. And so that's what we kind of look for in these stories, whether we know it or not. And I'm not saying there aren't stories that don't fit that mold or that you couldn't dissect this and take it apart. And there are plenty of people on the internet that try to do that. That's fine. But I'm saying, in general, this exists inside of us, and we apply it and interpret it. And one of the things Dan Harmon used to talk about is that when you're watching something for a little while, you're kind of a disembodied spirit. You're watching TV, you're watching a movie, and you're just floating there, and you're waiting to see a body that you can kind of inhabit, that you can possess, that you can take a ride in. And the way you do that is by you look for a character that's who is undefined enough that he could be you, that is defined enough that he's recognizable as a human being with thoughts and emotions that you can relate to. And so a good storyteller will make that automatically their hero. And so when you see the hero and you recognize him as the hero and you recognize him as a good vessel for yourself, you automatically attach yourself to them and say, okay, this is me for the rest of the movie. I'm agreeing to feel what he feels, to react to what he sees, to kind of be the second soul that's inhabiting his body. And so, like I said, a good creator will always make this kind of the hero, because that gets the job done. That gives you somebody to really experience the story through in a meaningful way. And so naturally, when you're watching a movie like The Avengers or like any of the Marvel movies prior to that, the goal is for you to relate to the hero. So Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, Ant-Man, Doctor Strange, Spider-Man, any of those guys, you're supposed to relate to them and kind of take a ride in their body. And so obviously when you're watching the Avengers Infinity War, you assume you're going to take a ride in the heroes' bodies and from there start to experience the steps of the monomyth. What the Russo brothers did that was crazy in a lot of ways is you have these moments that kind of invite you into the hero's body and you kind of relate to what they're feeling, especially there's a lot of emotion tied up in what Tony Stark was going through in this movie, what Vision and Scarlet Witch were going through in this movie, what Star-Lord was going through in this movie. There were lots of moments where you were invited to kind of feel what they were feeling. But what didn't happen in a meaningful way, I don't feel, was that you ever embarked fully in the monomyth. Or maybe you did. Maybe there were... maybe you could apply the monomyth to all of those characters or some of those characters or most of those characters. But it was... if you did, it was a big case of storytelling blue balls. It was coitus interruptus because you didn't get to have a satisfying finish to their stories. Because the big thing is, if you saw the movie, then you know... the Avengers lost. The good guys lost. And Thanos, the bad guy, actually won. He got what he was after. And so in a sense, the Avengers Infinity War was Thanos, the bad guy's trip around the monomyth. We were kind of following his journey. And we even had him presented as a... like he believed in the altruism of what he was doing. His planet was overpopulated. It was about to die. And so his solution was, well, let's kill half of everybody. And his planet didn't go for it. And so his planet died as a result. And so he thought, well, if I couldn't save my planet, I'm going to save the universe. And the way we do that is by getting rid of half of the mouths we have to feed. And so all of a sudden there's plenty for everybody. And so he believed in the altruism of what he was doing. It's a pretty hard idea to get behind. I think most of us don't think the answer to solving world hunger is genocide. Some people would say that, oh, well, that's what liberals believe, and that whoever says that is stupid and should probably be ignored. But it's a hard idea to get behind. And even the heroes of the movie keep telling us it's a bad idea. Like Captain America says to Vision, we don't trade a life for a life. And then Vision says it back to him at one point. And so that, and Scarlet Witch, who at one point is asked to trade Vision's life for half the universe, she really struggles with that decision. And she finally makes the decision to do it, and they don't win. And so the lesson kind of seems to be that Thanos is wrong. That when the Avengers adopted his tactics of giving a life for other lives, that's when they lost. That's when things went bad. Although I've seen some theories about the big question a lot of people ask was, why did Doctor Strange do what he did? Why did he give up the Time Stone? And what we know is that Doctor Strange watched millions of instances of the Thanos event over and over again, and there was only one that the Avengers won in. And if he watched that one, then he knows what they had to do to win. So my guess is he gave up the Time Stone because he knew ultimately that was going to be the key to their victory, I would assume, in Avengers 4 a year from now. And so we'll see. But at any rate, this movie gave you Thanos's hero's journey, but did not present him as a hero. And so that's why I say it was blue balls. That's why I say it was coitus interruptus, because you didn't have a satisfying experience with the Avengers, and you didn't have a satisfying experience with Thanos. You were prohibited from really having a satisfying experience with either one of those. The Avengers, because they didn't complete the monomyth. Thanos, he completed the monomyth, but he wasn't relatable. And so the question is, who are you left feeling connected to in this movie? And so obviously, here's one of the things we know is originally Avengers 3 and 4, they were filmed back to back, were seen as parts 1 and 2 of Infinity War. And then eventually the Russo brothers changed that and said the first one's Infinity War, 3 is Infinity War, 4 is something different. And so who knows what the title of that is going to be. We've heard some speculation, but clearly 4 is going to solve the problems that happened in 3. You might say, well, how do you know that, Patrick? How do you know that Spider-Man and Black Panther and all these guys, Star-Lord, aren't really dead? Maybe they're really dead. Well, maybe they are, but I'm not sure if you followed how much money Black Panther made. My guess is they're not going to get rid of the potential sequels for that movie just for this one, because they've got a pretty big moneymaker there, and they've got big moneymakers in all of these guys. And so I think we'll see all of this resolved in 4. And so my suggestion to myself, and maybe to you, is maybe consider this the middle of the Avengers motto myth, that it's not over yet. There, right now, we're at the bottom of the circle. We're in the belly of the whale. We have gone down into our subconscious, into the dark, and we're having to atone with ourselves. And a step in the modern myth is the atonement with the Father. And it's where you kind of realize that you have this shadow side that has to be embraced and can't just be pushed aside. And so maybe that's what we'll find with Vision and Scarlet Witch, that maybe her trying to destroy the jewel that was in Vision, which killed him, maybe this is going to be the key to victory. So maybe by doing that bad thing, maybe she guaranteed the success of the Avengers eventually. We know that's kind of what happened, or we're assuming that might be what happened with Doctor Strange, is he did this thing that seemed like a bad thing, which seemed like an expression of maybe his shadow side, but that ultimately solves the problem. So at any rate, it was an interesting movie. Gave me a lot to think about. Like I said, I didn't love it. There were a lot of cool moments. Anytime these were cheap, emotional, almost pornographic moments where the Avengers swoop in and save somebody, and they step out of the shadow, and the music swells, and Thor throws his hammer down and changes the tide of the battle. Like, those are moments that it's really hard not to get excited about. So I'm not dead inside. I was moved by those moments. I felt my lip tremble once. I clapped once. So there was a lot of fun, good emotional moments. But I think we have to say the monomyth here is not over for the heroes, for the Avengers. And Thanos seems to be, and that's a it's a risky move. It's not. I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying the Russo brothers did anything wrong, but I'm saying they're taking a chance. But it seems to be paying off, so good for them. And good for us for living in a world where my favorite comic book as a child is now the most successful movie franchise ever. I have to pinch myself every time I see somebody like Black Panther or the Vision on screen, because like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, maybe you could get there. Maybe you can imagine a day where they are box office hits. But for the most successful movie of all time to be Black Panther, what is this world? That's nutso. Like, this character created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in the 60s, who even among comic fans wasn't popular for years and years and years, for him all of a sudden to have ignited the public's imagination and invited them into the Marvel Universe in this way is amazing. And so if you're a comic nerd like me, enjoy this world. I don't think any of us expected it, but we're happy it's here. Those are my thoughts on Infinity War and how it relates to the monomyth, and in a very loose way, following your bliss. I think Thanos followed his bliss, and his bliss was to destroy half of the known universe, and he did it. And then the question is for him, and the question for each of us is, when you follow your bliss, are you willing to pay the price to get it? Because he found out the price was really high, was really heavy. And so for each of us, I think following our bliss comes at a high price. Maybe it's people's perception of you. Maybe it's a little bit of comfort that you get from a salary and benefits. Maybe it's your old view of the world and understanding the way everything worked. Whatever it is, you're going to be asked to sacrifice something. And so you just have to decide if the price is worth it. So anyway, my name is Pat Stray. This has been Bliss to the podcast. And we're not going to do an outro. We'll just call this our outro. So I hope you guys enjoyed this. Please listen. Please subscribe. If you want, I would love to have you on the mailing list that I mentioned earlier. You can go to patstray.net and sign up for my mailing list. And you will get the most unique newsletter every week in your mailbox. It's part email newsletter. It's part old school cut and paste zine. It really attempts to talk about stuff that's important to me from week to week, and I think would be important to you. But anyway, go to patstray.net, wait a few seconds, and as if by magic, a little box will pop up and allow you to sign up for it. So anyway, thank you guys, and I will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.